Now, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were saying, do you know so-and-so? And I said, well, it depends on what you mean by no. I've talked to them many, many times on the radio program, but I've never met them in person. And this is my experience. There are a lot of people all over the country that I've talked to on a regular basis, and I have never laid eyes on them personally. Now, there's an opportunity for you to actually lay eyes and meet and talk to the guests that you hear on here on Issues, etc. And by the way, this is the way I actually get to lay eyes on a lot of them, too. At the 2005 Symposia Series at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, not only the faculty members of Concordia Theological Seminary, like Larry Rast and Arthur Just and Dr. Dean Wenthe and Dr. David Scare and Dr. Peter Scare and Dr. Geishman and who else is in there? Carl Fikencher. I mean, I could go on and on. That's just the faculty. By the way, this is such a well-attended symposia series up there. We're talking about almost 1,000 people packed into a space that barely holds them, hearing the best speakers from around the world this year on the issue of who is Jesus and the third use of the law. You'll also run across guests who are not faculty members up there. And this is where I've got to meet a lot of them as well. We're going to be broadcasting live from the 2005 Symposia Series at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We will not be hard to find. We're at the very back, if they've set us up the same way we usually are, we'll be very back of the auditorium broadcasting our program and having guests on from the 2005 Symposia Series. Now, it's January the 18th through the 21st. That's this coming January, the 18th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, housing fills up pretty quick, so you want to go to their website, or go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click on the What's New section. You'll find there a list of speakers, a schedule for the symposia, and also information on housing and a way to register online for the 2005 Symposia Series, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155. It's January the 18th through the 21st on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I guarantee you this is not something that you want to miss if you have the opportunity to go. In the last 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. today, I've seen it up. The movie's out. Kinsey. Well reviewed. My goodness, well reviewed. And it's got big names, big star power. And it's got a subject that titillates everyone, Alfred Kinsey, sex researcher. Does it tell the truth about Alfred Kinsey and his work? We're going to find out here in the last 25 minutes. Dr. Judith Reisman is our guest. She's president of the Institute for Media Education. Dr. Reisman has been a consultant to four U.S. Department of Justice administrations, the U.S. Department of Education, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And she's authored several books, including two, Kinsey, Sex Fraud and, Kinsey, Sex and Fraud, and the other book is Kinsey, Crime and Consequences. Dr. Reisman, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted to be back here, Todd.
What do our listeners need to know about the real Alfred Kinsey before they go see the Alfred Kinsey depicted in the Kinsey movie?
Well, first they need to read the book, go on to my website and get some of these books, because you can't really know what's going on in the film if you're going to go see the film. I don't recommend that people see it. It's a pornographic film. And in the old days, it would have been called obscene, and it would have been quite illegal. I do recommend that people call their local theaters and protest that, that a film of that nature that is dishonest and fraudulent and is pornographic, showing full frontal nudity and action and that sort of thing, is in their family's back room, so to speak, as a theater. The film is false. It's depicted as a biography of Kinsey. It tells the truth in one sense, and that is that this man has shaped the lives of everyone in the United States of America today. He has dramatically impacted modernity. He's impacted the churches. He has impacted the battle today for a marriage amendment. He has impacted our laws, gutted our protective sex laws, age of consent, gutted the penalties for rape and so on, kicked off the sexual revolution and the no-fault divorce and pornography and so on and so on. So, yeah, I mean, he's an important man for you all to learn about, so read my books and start learning.
Well, let's talk about the so-called Kinsey report that really just who would think, unless the subject matter was taken into account, who would think that some research done by Alfred Kinsey would have the kind of effect it had and the popularity that it had when the reports were first issued? Tell us about Kinsey's research, if we can call it that, and the so-called report.
Well, Kinsey had an agenda. He was a bi-homosexual fellow who was impotent, who himself was a sexual psychopath, definitively, I mean, clinically a sexual psychopath, and who he never could have had the impact he did, except that he won over some people at the Rockefeller Foundation who shared his views, and he got massive funding from the Rockefeller Foundation, which allowed him then to do the kinds of quote-unquote research he chose to do. He didn't really do it. What he did was to hire a bunch of very young, sexy fellows. People nowadays call them boy toys, but he hired young guys who he was attracted to. Yes, he was married, by the way, but he hired young guys he was attracted to work with him, under him, so to speak, and they would go around to various places in the country and ask people sexual questions and then throw out the answers they didn't like and keep the answers they did like. That then was, you know, became the foundation of Kinsey's claim that 95% of the American population of males really should be in jail because they were sex offenders, that your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa were really engaged in massive sexual duplicity, that they were engaged in all sorts of sexual activities that were illegal, that sodomy was common, that prostitution was common, that adultery was common, that 20-some percent of our wives were committing adultery, half of our husbands were, that 10 to 37% of our male population had engaged in some form of homosexual activity. All of this was cooked data. There was no reality to this. Kinsey manufactured it. The Rockefeller Foundation retailed it into the general society and then sold it through a Madison Avenue blitzkrieg similar to what we're seeing today about the Kinsey film.
Now, these things are not, you didn't have to necessarily go to the dark side of the moon to discover this information about Alfred Kinsey and his research. Why is it that the fraudulent data of the Kinsey report and his conclusions is not only still believed, but still forms the basis for further research and forms the basis for public policy?
Well, yeah, I hope everybody out there is going to get my book and learn why, because it's kind of important. Well, Kinsey hired pedophiles to rape children, you know, for him. And from that information, children as young as 2 months of age, and you're right, it was in Kinsey's book all along, no one simply asked, you know, where do you get this information about a two-month-old baby having or not having an organ? Who does that to a child, yes? A four-year-old child, 26 alleged climaxes in 24 hours, that sort of thing. These children were being tortured around the clock when you read Kinsey's definition of what he called, quote-unquote, an orgasm. What you're really reading is a definition of a sadomasochist, because he talked about these children fainting and having convulsions and screaming and writhing in pain. And he simply concluded, based on his own experience, that that was pleasure. Yeah, that still remains the basis of human sexuality education in the United States. And the educational system on human sexuality is based upon Kinsey, and the accreditation given to everybody out there with a sexuality degree, unless they specifically are abstinence and abstinence only based, and those folks aren't accredited, that's all based upon the Kinsey model. And yes, it's still these are the people who are still educating. They're getting the grants right now as we speak. The Kinsey Institute receives millions of dollars, has received millions from the federal government to engage in sex research while it has actively lied and covered up the violence and the abuse and the crimes committed by the father of its institution. So it's a huge problem.
So the Kinsey Institute, to make no bones about it, the researchers at the Kinsey Institute are aware of who Alfred Kinsey was and what he was really up to.
Absolutely, of course. And the heads of the Kinsey Institute, you don't hire somebody to be the director of the Kinsey Institute unless they're willing to cover up the crimes that the man has committed. If they told the truth, if they revealed the records, if they opened the doors, then they would be opening the doors to their own collapse. So, no, they have to protect what was done there and what's being done there even as we speak. I mean, anybody who trusts that structure, you know, I have that proverbial bridge to sell them.
You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Kinsey movie and the real Alfred Kinsey and his work with Dr. Judith Reisman, president of the Institute for Media Education. By the way, the website, Dr. Reisman has a website. It's Dr. Judith Reisman. That's Drjudithreisman. One more time. Drjudithreisman.org, drjudithreisman.org. Our call in numbers, if you have a question or a comment, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Well, sex education is now standard fare in both the public and the private school system. To what degree has sex education for elementary age and secondary age students been affected by Kinsey and his work?
Well, you know, anything that deals with AIDS prevention, anything that deals with, with homosexuality in any way, shape, or form, and a lot of the material that the children will get, you know, certainly does. Depending upon your school system, it can be worse or it can be better. Some school systems have somebody, a principal in charge, who's savvy enough to, you know, to snort that out, kind of, and know that this is really bad and then not to include it. But, you know, lots of our school systems, Massachusetts, California being the worst, no, some others being pretty bad, too, Maryland is and Virginia, a lot of our school systems, and Texas, and have people who get into a position of power and then who bring in books that are very dangerous for children that recommend various sodomies, that show them how to engage in these activities, that tell them that it's harmless. You know, it's so interesting to me when I saw the film, because I had to, you know, the notion that Kinsey was correcting all of these myths that our college kids had about sex. Well, you know, our college kids now, of course, think that it's perfectly all right to engage in sex with a variety of people before they get married and that they won't come down with a variety of venereal diseases, some of which can kill them. You know, we have people who believe that that are being taught consistently that homosexuality is absolutely the very same as, you know, as a loving husband and wife relationship. We have myths up the wazoo right now that are killing our kids. We have venereal disease that's off the charts, early sex abuse that's off the charts. We have out-of-wedlock pregnancies that are wiping us out. And these are based upon myths of the way in which we can or cannot conduct our sexual lives. These myths have been created by Kinsey and his followers, and they are probably the single most dangerous thing, in a way, to our survival in terms of domestic terrorism.
I think about the and you mentioned this early on in our conversation, Dr. Rieschman, the legal ramifications of Kenzie's research and those who have accepted it, the penalties for rape, the penalties for child abuse, the penalties for pedophilia, ephebophilia, all these other deviant and dangerous and heretofore illegal behaviors. And I cannot help but think of the fact that, you know, you had mentioned it also affected the church. In the Catholic Church, the mindset with the priests who were abusing young boys and teenagers was, well, maybe let's get them some counseling, or maybe they're just kind of doing what comes naturally. And for years and years, that allowed the abuse to continue under the cover of secrecy.
Oh, absolutely. And well, not only that, but it turns out that the seminarians were actually being trained by people who had been Kinsey-trained sex therapists and sexologists. So the seminarians, they went in, these young men, to take up their future profession as priests and to be able to be of service. And they were faced with an indoctrination process at the seminaries that taught them that homosexuality was perfectly normal and that they could engage in these kinds of acts and really ought to. And by the way, when I say the church, I mean all the churches. I remember Concordia had some serious trouble with some of the materials that were in the system as well on sexuality. The infection has spread, and we're none of us immune from it.
Absolutely. What about the effect on marriage? You mentioned gay marriage, but also the divorce rate. Can you draw a line there?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, just recently this year in April, put out its assessment of the changes in our laws that have been wrought by the Kinsey fraud. And this, of course, is real fraud. And one of the key issues, of course, has to do with no-fault divorce and has to do with pornography, the role of pornography in divorce. And that's, by the way, in the church as well as not in the church, is again, critical. We have people talk about mythologies who believe that they can watch pornography and it won't affect their lives and it won't destroy their relationships. And, of course, talk about a myth. You know, we see pornography in the lives of folks in the church. It wipes them out and it doesn't start as child pornography, and sometimes it never ends up as child pornography, but it starts as something that's destructive, coarsening, debilitating, and that absolutely ends up cutting the heart out of a marriage. Anybody out there, you know, who's got Playboy in the house, and I start with Playboy because people half the time don't understand that that's pornography anymore. You know, all of this stuff is just going to wipe them out. And very often, of course, the therapists recommend pornography. You know, they're trained with it. Most sex therapists have gone through the training that has given them pornography as part of the training. So all of that is interlocked with Dr. Kinsey, with his fraud. He was, of course, a pornography addict himself, so much so that he was making it in his attic, and he was, you know, having everybody and his staff perform for that as well as himself. They even do some of that in the film, as a matter of fact. Admissions of that type are in the film, mainly because the idea is that we are so jaded at this point in our lives, in this modern world, that we've accepted Kinsey to the extent we have, that those things are acceptable.
And also with regard to rape, have the penalties and the legal foundation for anti-rape laws been affected by Kinsey?
Oh, radically. In 1948, when Kinsey came on board, half the states in the union gave the death penalty, offered the death penalty for rape. And I'm not talking about rape of little children. I mean, just, you know, regular old rape. And, yeah, the death penalty in the other half of the states in the union offered life imprisonment. Now, that didn't mean that people who, you know, who did this were always executed, but certainly the nation made its will known. The nation held up this crime as so onerous that we would demand perhaps death for that. So, yeah, that's been gutted. I mean, we now have so few people that are really serving out a full sentence, even if the sentence is minimum, for rape. Statutory rape, which used to be considered a major crime, practically went by the wayside. The FBI dropped statutory rape from its rape uniform crime report, so that the notion of peer-on-peer sexual activity became one that was accepted, that if somebody was 18 and they raped a child who was within 5 years of that person's age, that meant it was kind of a play activity and wasn't all that significant. So, yeah, this man has monumentally impacted you and me and our children and our grandchildren. And I urge you to read my books and to get the tapes and to learn about how your lives have been changed so that you can be able better to help us try to remove this. I'm calling for a presidential apology from President Bush to Kinsey's little victims. In the same way a precedent has been set for that, President Ford apologized to the victims of the LSD experiments, and President Clinton apologized even to the victims of the Tuskegee experiments and to the radiation experiments. And I would like to see President Bush actually offer a formal apology to the Kinsey Institute's little victims, because I think that could really go a long way to help the public understand the significance of what took place there.
Folks, if you want the truth about Alfred Kinsey, check out the website, drjudithreisman.org. It's drjudithreisman.org, drjudithreisman.org. And you can find out more about her books, Kinsey, Sex and Fraud, and Kinsey, Crime and Consequences. She's president of the Institute for Media Education, and she's been a consultant for four U.S. Department of Justice administrations, the U.S. Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as well. Dr. Reisman, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., Newsweek magazine has a cover story on the birth of Christ. We'll be talking about that with Christian apologist Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. We'll also be discussing Hanukkah, which began last night, with Pastor Ed Balfour tomorrow on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.